Okay, let's continue this very controversial section. Daf Chof Aleph Omer Aleph Bina Yisera Benoshim Oy Shadaitan Kala. Okay, this is a very tough question. While we seem to have a contradiction in Chazal. Chazal on one hand, they say the Noshim have Bina Yisera. On the other hand, we have this idea Shadaitan Daiton Kala. How do we reconcile the two? Okay, so Rabbi said, you didn't hear this, okay? You didn't hear what we're learning now. It's just between us. If someone will listen to the shiurim, it will be a yom tov. Okay, don't worry. But this is only between us, okay? We're not going to tell anyone what it says here. Bina Yisera Benoshim Ayichadaitan Kala B'sugim Uvush Osa Lulmoides Benos Torah. It says, we had discussed last week, the end of teaching Noshim Torah. The armor with Hamadaval Pipasik Ani Chochma Shachanti Arma. I am wisdom. It dwells within me deceit. Kevan Shnichnasa Chochma Ba'odam Nichnasa Imo Ar Mumis. When a person learns Torah, he can possibly become corrupt. He can become cunning and he can be filled with ideas of trickery. Uperish Rashi Shemis Shemi Toicha He. Mivina through the shemitaycha, through the study of Torah, he mivina armumis vioised devarecha behatsneya, and a person can do things discreetly, can do things that are not 100% correctly. Varambam kasa bemeshem shemitzius devar Torah l'devar Havai, shemitzius devar Torah l'devar Havai. I'm not sure what he means over there. What? They corrupted by the noshim can corrupt the words of Torah. Now, what exactly does that mean? So he elaborates. But Torah to me mo hoisif al kach. He elaborates. She yisoid kol advarim oeluhu al pi yisoid tivi echad she techunas hanoshim de daitan kalas. Okay, scary stuff there. Like I told you, this is off the record. Okay, so the Torah to me writes that it is the nature that women all have died in Kalis. What?
Did he ever marry?
He said no.
The Torah Tamima?
Huh? Yeah, Kalis said the Torah Tamima never married.
He never married? They lack the ability to delve deeply into a matter. He has such shocking things. A woman lacks the ability to delve deeply into something. Mitche means she'll make some mistake or some type of corruption. V'hinei, how could he say that? How could the Torah Tamima say this? How could Chazal say this? Shenoshim Daitan Kalas. Well, on the other hand, we have a concept which could be V'hinei yesh liyashiv ma'imazel ma'asho amru Chazal Bina Yisera Nosana Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'isha Yoyser Mi Be'ish Shelechoira Sois Shema Hamamorim Zelazek Ye'echad Moira Al Kalas Kishroin Daito. We have here what appears to be a major contradiction. They lack the ability to delve deeply into a matter of chokhmah. On the other hand, bina yisera. So he says something very shocking. These two concepts are completely different. Hadas yunach al hamus, I don't have the vowels. Hamuskolois harishayna shetoyves moyach kol ish takeif lishmiya. This is his theory. It's a very interesting idea, which I don't think we should get too carried away with this idea. But his idea is that das represents a person's initial grasp of the subject matter, person's starting point, his foundation. Let me try to say it outside before we read inside. Bina means the ability to build upon the foundation. So what he says over here is something very shocking, that women, they have tremendous bina yisera, they have tremendous ability to delve very deeply into a matter, but the problem is their bina yisera is built on a faulty foundation. Isn't that a shocking thing to say? A faulty foundation. The das represents the foundation. The bina is great depth. But if the depth is built on a faulty foundation, when everything is over, the building is going to collapse. Men, on the other hand, we don't have Bina Yisera, but men at least build on solid foundations. So men build low buildings, but they remain, they stand. Women build tall buildings, but they collapse. That's his, again, don't quote me on this, this is his idea. Bina comes after depth and after time. To find sharp and fine sharp intellect, sharp and fine points. ולכן אף על פי שהנשים יש להם כוח בינה יצירה, אבל דעתן בתפיסה סתובר במושכל ראשון, but their understanding of the subject matter, the initial understanding of the subject matter, קלהי, below יסויד נאמן, without a solid foundation, ולזה הסכימו בעל הגיון, people of great intellect agree on this principle. I don't think everyone agrees with that principle, but that's what it says. וכס ואויד חייקר הנפש, שמי שיש... The kasu od chaykri hanefesh shemi sheyesh leiv charutz v'seichel chad ha'hu tzarch yosel hizor shaloi leishachek minikudas ha'emes. A person who has seichel should not distance himself from the point of truth. Yan ki achrei shekoyach habina haynu koyach acharitzos gadol nemidas ha'seichel ha'poshen avshaloi lahamik chikir v'livnes binyanim al yitzayru ruwa v'cholosh. Because just because a person m'murgash b'chush, just because a person is brilliant, but your brilliance is only as good as your foundation. V'zehi kavonas ha'man b'avos in ein das ein bina. Beautiful. This is really what he says over here. He's trying to prove this concept from where you have these two different ideas that come together. In Pirkei Avos, if there is no das, there is no bina. Meaning if you don't have a, so his interpretation is, if you don't have a solid foundation, if your thesis, if your principle, your starting point, your idea is incorrect, then all of the binyanim, all of the things that you're going to build, structures you're going to build upon this foundation, will ultimately go to waste. And therefore, basically, this Maamar Chazal captures the two other Maamari Chazal that Chazal used to define an Isha. Noshim Daiton Kalois, and Nidna Bina Yisera Linoshim. So he's basically taking a very negative approach. This koyach of building incredible binyanim is lost in the fact that they don't start with a solid foundation of das. They do not have the ability to build upon a weak foundation. Their initial understanding of the subject matter is not complete. They build upon this faulty foundation. It's nothing will come from it. Now we understand the words of Rashi and the Rambam. He started with Rashi and the Rambam that Noshim are dangerous people. Dangerous people that they can, if they study Torah, they can come to use Torah in a deceitful way. Because basically what he's saying is their initial understanding of the Yesodites are faulty. And if it's faulty, when they're going to build structures upon this faulty bits of information, it can lead to dangerous things. Now here goes on to describe another phenomenon. Why is it that Noshim become bas mitzvah when they are 12 years old, and men become bar mitzvah when they are 13 years old? So that's what he says. So is that a milus al chasaron? Virak linyan zeh havi milus habina malalchen. So in this respect, even though what he's done so far, the Torah Tamima has knocked down women. He's saying when Chazal say that they have bina yisera, it's not a mila, because the bina yisera is only built on a foundation of das. And since Noshim died in Kalos, so it comes out that they absolutely have no benefit, according to him. And if that's what it means, so he does stand back, but there is one...
The only times they have the Bina Yisera is between 12 and 13?
is between 12 and 13, let's see.
They have the
Bina
as soon as the
man. Yeah, but where's the Das? Let's see. Verakli in Zeh, Havi Milus.
By Ilus and Bokris, there's that definition of them 1 year.
Okay, let's see what he says. Verakli in Zeh, Havi Milus, Habina Malachem, Shokech, Binosem, Mispatech, Kodim, Zman, Labinas, Huanoshim, Noshim developed earlier. Ulchein, the Inyan Tainis, Ulchein, the Dorim, Shatsar. To make nedarim before men. Ach, omnam gam al pi maila zo yispor ha'inyan ma shadaitim kala shekamosh b'chol hagidulim u'peiros v'tzimachim. All types of vegetation, kol ma she'yispashul b'mimuklim hazman ha'im kalim v'dimoichim le'hiskalkel. Even that's not such a maila. Because when it comes to vegetation, we find that things that begin to develop earlier, they get ruined earlier. Le'hiskalkel ma'ar. Me'asher eilu she'yispashul b'oichar hazman l'chinifar alu lo ha'isha shebikra So he turns around and he says the other way around it also, that because the Bina Yisera, Bina, they develop, their minds develop earlier, that causes their Das to be Makalkel earlier. This is not very complimentary, obviously. And that's why I told you that this is just... Bina has a lifespan, that's what he's saying. It's a development. Okay, on the other hand, we should be aware that obviously today there have been a lot of studies between men and women, and one thing a woman can do that men cannot do, it's a tremendous mila, it's a fact, women can multitask. Yes. This is a scientific fact. Men, women can multitask. Women, they can be talking on the phone, doing the laundry, making dinner, on the computer, making major business decisions, and taking care of the children and arranging what's going to be for Shabbos. It's a tremendous fact. It's an average woman can multitask and do 10 things at the same time. Some of them can do them all good.
But the end of the study was, however, they don't do any of them very well.
That's where they say men are better. Men cannot, the average man cannot walk and chew gum. It's not a joke. The average man cannot do more than one. If you give a man to do more than one thing at a time, try to tell a man to go and keep track of washing the laundry and making dinner and working at home on the computer at the same time. Nothing will get done. It's a mitzvah. Men can only do one thing at a time.
You have a few exceptions.
Men have an impediment. They have this deficiency. It's the male gene. On the other hand, is what the Torah is saying. Men have a mila. They have a tendency to delve deeper into one field. If they're focusing on one thing, they will continue their endurance, their stamina, generally, on the whole, there are many exceptions, of course, on the whole are greater. So these are the Zel Umazel. Each one has Milus and Chashonas. It's very fascinating. You cannot ignore Mamore Chazal, Noshim Daitan Kalois, and Nid Noshim have Bina Yisera. Hashem said to Avram, Kol Asher Toi Mar Sora Shema Bekoila. You can't deny the fact that Sora Imenu, the first matriarch, was greater in prophecy than Avraham Avinu. That also has to be added to the equation. Okay, today in the world, in the secular world, there's a movement, the feminist movement. It used to be, there are two things about feminism. There's feminism where women are better than men, and then there's a view of feminism where women are equal to men. It used to be, like 30 years ago, from what I've read, the movement was women are better than men. That has become politically incorrect, politically insensitive to say that a woman is better than man. Today, in the secular world, when you hear about feminism, it's equality. Mm-hmm. The goal is equality. It's not to say that they are better. No one, not probably anyone, is better than another person. And in Chazal, to some degree, Chazal, you have to analyze, what does Chazal say about feminism? Different. And Chazal...
They're literally
the... Alright, so that's...
Same,
right.
Not just equal, they're the same.
Exactly the same. So Chazal don't seem to go... From Chazal, you don't have that idea. The best you can say in Chazal is they're different. They're different, and each one is unique. You don't say one is better than the other. That you could find, they agree to feminism, not to say that one is better. They serve different roles. Different roles, and each role is unique, and each role is 100% chashuv in its own right. Secular feminism, as you said, is they're 100% exactly the same. If a man can wear a tefillin, a woman can wear a tefillin. If a man can be a CEO, a woman can be a CEO. That's not Chazal. Chazal say they're different. Different, and each one is unique. And these Mamari Chazal are very fascinating in how you see that balance. Okay, let's go to the next thing, which is more little practical. Siyua li'isha shenaf. If a woman falls down, should you pick her up? Should you help a woman by touching a woman? Or leave her on the street? Heichidami chaset shait. What is chaset shait going to call to Sabinara? If a woman is drowning in the river, v'yamalani says, lavarechara li'ista kule ba. The atzula, it's not proper for me to look at her, so therefore let her drown. I'm not going to look at the woman, therefore I'd rather let her drown. That's called the chasid shaita. Beminchas chadei v'kosav shehete lehatzilu yisha hainu afilu kashiyah shachinim mashiyachilim lehatzila dimafachi harayu shayfech damim v'loi rak chasid shaita. So he's describing over here, why is it called the chasid shaita? Why isn't the person over here called a reitzeach? So he says something very fascinating. A woman falls down, there are five other people that can pick her up. So why should I pick her up? Let someone else pick her up. There are other people there, they can do just as good as me. There are women that are there, there are men that are there, that are not observing, they're anyway not Israel in these things. So why should I be the one to run and pick her up? So he wants to say an incredible chiddush that said that you should run. Just like you see a sefer falls down, so you be the one to pick up the sefer. Don't let someone else, maybe you be the one that's zoich in this mitzvah. Even though by doing so you're going to be touching her, you're going to be looking at her. It's okay. That's exactly what Chazal say, chasid shaita. Chasid shaita means even if it's efshar al yidei achirim, you should be the one to chap and do the mitzvah. Fascinating chiddush. B'fnei Yeshua, b'vua shechayv la'atzil afilu miyavu al yidei kach, lidei, this is a shocking chiddush. Hoitzoas zera levatala. Could you imagine such a thing? Even though, which basically means, if we combine this with what it said before, someone else can do it, but you're going to do it, and by you doing it, you're going to have hirhurim, which are going to cause zer levatala. Go for it. This type of religion, this type of thought is as if you're killing her. Now, he says, even though we've quoted the Pnei Yeshua and the Minchas Chareva, which both say extreme things, I don't think the average person would go to such an extreme. I think he asked the average yeshiva bacha. Now yeshiva bacha is on, and then someone else can pick up the woman.
No, you skipped
the paragraph. Which paragraph? No, I'm up to Omnam. But basically, we just did the first three short paragraphs. So basically, he's saying over the two tremendous, true, incredible chidushim. Like, saw zera levatala according to mikubalim, it's the worst possible sin a person can do in this world. It's worse than shvichas damim. And the minchas chareva is there are other people that can help this woman. You should jump and do the mitzvah. That's what it says. It says the person should be done. However, we're going to see now that not everyone is so lenient.
Who's the minchas chareva?
I do not know. You want to Google it?
No, so you get the next thing.
Omnam kasa be'oimani choyma. Shemokam sheish iso yichud. Have a bezrayu digilu arayus v'osu gam emokam bikuach nefesh v'ein heta shuhu torud behatzolosa. Fascinating. Let her die.
Okay. High point here.
Yeah.
We said that today Yeshua.
Right? Yeah.
And now we say the Ayman Echaima. You know who the Ayman Echaima is?
That's
Menashe HaKot. Oh. So Menashe
HaKot had his... That's Yeshua? That's Menashe HaKot? Okay.
He had his opinion of women. So how do you take a Menashe HaKot against the Yeshua to say, let her drop dead?
Menashe HaKot was a posek of the highest caliber. I know that. We had these discussions.
Right.
I know that. We have to remember, this is a hodgepodge, this thing. This is just a computer-generated... He type in the Gemara, and he's just throwing out. Don't get carried away with this. He's just throwing out svaras.
No, it may be someone who reads this will say,
for all.
So what? I'm not getting involved, you know? I'm not getting involved. I see a woman lined up on the floor.
With throwing out, this is, I don't think anyone is coming getting carried away with this. This is just an intellectual discussion of the concepts. Halacha l'maisa, obviously, there are different opinions. He's throwing out the things that I have faith that the sources he quotes, I don't know, 95% of the sources, I do not know, but the publication, Oz v'Hadar, Chazaka, would not allow something which is Einam Yisukon, and it's assumed that the source he quotes are very acceptable, legitimate sources. They obviously disagree with one another. From Mikotze La Kotze. You want to say that Rav Menashe Klein was influenced because of his personal experience with women that changed his view of halacha? You're questioning his holy.
But you can't compare him to the
thing. He has a different approach. Different strokes to different folks. But you can't go say that what he's saying is not halacha. You know, he because that would be that. He's saying it's not valid. Everything he writes is corrupt. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. He just has a different halachic approach. Maybe his halachic approach is based upon certain experiences, but it's still within the framework of halacha.
But I have to tell you, it's a tremendous chiddush what Rav Menashe Klein is saying.
You know, now Rabbi Aaron Rakefet, who his whole year he's giving shiurim on the tshuvis of Menashe HaKotan. Menashe Klein, he's going through his tshuvas. That's his shiurim for the year, to go through tshuva by tshuva to bring out Rabbi Aaron Rakefet. Rabbi Aaron Rakefet, no, he's not far from Hasidish. Boy, I have to send him the tape. I have to send him the tape of you saying when he's Hasidish. See how we react to that. But no. He finds him to be from the most fascinating poskim of the generation. Okay, let's see.
When did he live?
Who? Menashe Klein? Not that long, recently. How long ago?
He just passed away a few years ago.
How long ago? His main shuvas were written within 50 years, all of his main shuvas. He's a Holocaust survivor. He was a Holocaust survivor. He died 10 years ago. Less than 10 years ago. 5 years ago.
Elie Wiesel donated his shul.
They were together in the building on 16th Avenue.
He was a brilliant... He was a very colorful person. He has he was a leader. He was a group of children. He was from a group of children that were... And they traveled together, and he was machazik, and as a child already, he was already an Adam Gadol. Okay, let's go further. Uvminchas charei v'kosav sham l'stabik l'dina b'adam sheyodeya she'im yatzila yid yischavei l'isser. Situation, a person's going to save a woman, right? So they need a woman, a man has to go, whatever the situation, you can use your imagination what the situation is. She'yischavei l'isser yishori l'hatzila kevan she'vikuach nefesh einu deich afila b'zrayu d'gilei rais ayin b'igris
moshe. What does b'zrayu mean?
That means it's a form. It's a form or a derivative a derivative of Avodah Zarah Gilui Arayos. Look, we had over here Aaron Rosenfeld, not that long ago, gave a shiur on Hatzalah. And he described when you go on Hatzalah, the call to Hatzalah, you're dealing with women. Yeah. And the things you have to do are things you would, under normal circumstances, never think of doing, things that you would see. So what is the halacha? Yeah. People, when they volunteer for Hatzalah, this is what it involves. This is what it involves. And according to the Oymani Chayma, so he's saying that to go do such things, I wonder how he viewed his view on working in Hatzalah. Go call EMS, go call the fire department. I mean, I don't know.
No, this is a problem in Eretz Yisrael. You have, let's say, a city like Elad, which is a very famous city, right? And a woman's giving birth. Most of the guys, see, will refuse to go to that case. They'll say, send someone who's not so from, because I can't go Shabbos, see the lady, and then, you know, I've just delivered a child.
So what's so terrible? All right.
They know.
Okay, so these are the issues. These are the issues. I have a friend, he works in Monroe. He told me he's the only, on for Shabbos and Yom Tov, maybe some of you know him, Klein. He lives in the neighborhood. He's a paramedic. So he moonlights. he goes to Shabbos, so they love him. So he told me that on Kiryas Yoel.
Because he can do things that they don't want
to
do.
So he works and when he has to respond to the women, I mean, he goes among the women also. And he told me, like, it's very bizarre for them that for a man to respond to a medical emergency among women.
What
does Moshe say? He says, yeah, Moshe's matir. I think Moshe's matir these things, 100%. V'nei b'shi, he talks more. V'nei b'shut be'er Moshe, deber tzina, kasav, shemnafla isha b'rechayv, mutr l'harima, av kishe'enoi pikuach nefesh. Ach, im zero oisecha migulos, her arms are exposed, osur, b'nei shagram l'her. Look what he thinks, a very hard line. He says not to pick up a woman whose arms are exposed. Isn't that shocking what the Deber Tzina says? Uva'oz nidbru, who's that oz nidbru? Okay, I don't know who this is. His name's familiar. Kasav isha shenafla u'mevakeshes le'ezor lo. She's asking, please help me. Lokum she'en bo heter shal bikuach nefesh. There's no heter bikuach nefesh to go help her. Av mikomokum heyosh ein zederech. What?
Can that be that there's no...
In a situation, it's hard to differentiate between every. Let's say theoretically, a woman falls down, and you can assess. You are an expert. Theoretically, you're right. Today, it's not very. A lot of these crates are not practical, and it's also not very practical because of everyone is watching. Everyone takes out their smartphone and start taking video, and they'll post it on YouTube, and they're gonna go look at these backward Orthodox Jews. They don't have any derecheres, any nidos. Everything is just very theoretical, okay? Theoretical. But in a situation where you know for a fact that a woman is not in a state of danger at all, and she says, can you please give me your hand, help me up, can you please help me up? She can get up herself. She just wants, she's lived a pampered life. She's used to men coming and picking her up. It's not viewed as something which is endearment. So the halacha is... The halacha is she'aser min ha'Torah mutter. Even though since it's not derech krivus, which is also ha'Torah mutter, it's permitted for the man to pick her up. Avol im neimar she'barur she'yavo lidei hirur. If you know that by coming near her, you're going to come to hear she'aser min ha'Torah she'yeh b'she'yeh aser b'zeh. B'yeish hevdo bein levusha b'tzniyah she'mutav yochal la'hizor mi'estaklus v'hirur b'yeish ein levusha b'tzniyah she'yeish tundam b'zeh ad kam ha'shev she'vekan yeish le'shtamish b'shulchanoch ha'chamishi ha'yedua she'eish. Use the fifth common sense. Every situation is different. Technically, there's no one that's going to say that you're doing an Avera. There's no way it's possible you're doing an Avera. However, is it the right thing to do? Is it necessary? Is it the right thing to do? Don't go overboard. It depends who you are, how old you are, who she is, how old she is. Ain't a diamond picking up an old lady, a woman who's 90 years old, and picking up a young woman who's dressed in a very non-sneistic way. A person, it's your fault. If you have to be maharer, control yourself. Like a doctor, the minig is that doctors, even in situations where there's no restrictions, and not every situation is the same. I once asked by Reisman, can I take a haircut near Tarvis? I used to take a haircut around the corner from Tarvis. That's a barber. Is a barber, and the barber, I always have the same barber, he's there for years, the same barber, and the shop is owned by a woman. She really, the main business is she's a hairstylist for women, and they do manicures, they do all these things for women, and she has a little part of the section where she has a male barber, and he serves the community. So, when it gets very busy, so she likes to, and she doesn't have any work, so she likes to help out. So, So I was there once, and it was very busy. And she basically says, "Come on, I'll give you a haircut. Come on." So I didn't know what to do. I figured what could be. So I did. I sat down, and she gave me the haircut. I didn't think anything of it. Then it was bothering me. What's the halacha? So I asked Rabbi Reisman, Tar Vidas.
Shlomo Reisman.
Shlomo Reisman. So he said I shouldn't do it. He said it's really? Not right. That's what he told me. He says it's not. Today it's not the right thing that a man, if you have an option of going to a male barber, says it's not usur. There's no technical usur. But today that's just not the way it's done today.
But was it a good haircut?
No, the man. No, she doesn't know. She's good with women. She's not good with men.
You didn't go to a female barber. Female barber came to you.
I was there waiting, and there was a big crowd. And she said, "Come, let's go." And she started taking the men. She started knocking them off one after another. She was very aggressive. So I think what could be what I
did. Yeah, it was probably if there would have been a barber who always kills your hair, you would have gone to do it.
Okay, so obviously, so he says over here, look, what about going to a woman doctor? Okay, a man going to a woman doctor. So that's another issue in halacha. What about a woman going to a male doctor?
Yeah.
So there are many women today, some women only want to go to a female OBGYN. Okay, it's very popular. Someone I know said to me she would never go to a female OBGYN. They're very mean. They're very mean because they feel that they're entitled. They're also women. They've also gone through childbirth, so they know what it's like. So they have a certain toughness. The men generally are gentler. Are gentler dealing with a woman, so they want to be more gentle. All right, listen, but what about halakhically? Is there an issue? You go to the best doctor. That's always the rule of thumb. A man going to a woman doctor, you go to the best. And then doesn't all these things don't really make a difference. Yeah.
What about a therapist?
Yeah.
Can I use one?
Can I use one?
If you need one, yeah. Why? I mean,
what does that mean? Occupational
therapist. I assume that when you go to the best, if this is the best candidate, the best doctor, the best thing available, then the assumption is, the way at least I've been taught is... Yeah, so it's okay. It's accepted that it is okay. Especially dealing with people a little bit older. You're not dealing with a 22-year-old boy whose hormones are on steroids. You're dealing with a person who was already, an older person. It's A-okay. A-okay. That's the question.
What?
A doctor, yeah.
Louder.
What kind of doctor?
Somebody who assists.
Assist the doctor. It's the same thing. If you go into a doctor, this is assistant, so you have no choice. If you don't want to go, like you say, a female hygienist. You're saying something very interesting. It is a little bit awkward. Okay, I went to the reason, about a year ago. I had some dental work. So who is the hygienist? First, they wanted to do a hygienist was a young, like a young girl. It's like the type of girl I couldn't have been dating. So, I don't think she was married, and a young, attractive girl, right? And she's really right on top of you. Right on top of you, right? Like really, really, a dentist is no one that's more on top of you like a dentist. So I did find it awkward. So what am I going to do? I'm going to walk out. I'm going to tell the dentist I'm not going to walk out. So you make the best of it. What am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do?
Somebody has to love where I
doubt. Yeah.
Not rather, but the other
if you could sit next to a woman on a subject.
Oh, so what did he say?
And he said, it doesn't bother you.
It doesn't bother you. It's okay.
It's a choice for a
moment. Okay, let's go to the next page. Let's move along. Let's move along to the next page. The next page, Nesina Sadaka L'Adam Sheyesh Le'Kvar Elav Zuz.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next sugya. Giving money to the second person that does not need the money. He already has money. Sugya Mishayesh Le'Masayim Zuz Lo Yita Le'Kach Shechopeya Ma'isa Oni. Person has 200 Zuz, he's not allowed to go give you now, he's not allowed to take Le'Kach Shechopeya. Next. Hoya Le'Masayim Chosadina. Let's say he has 9. Let's say he has 199. You can give even 1,000 zuz. Ulam this only applied in the time of Chazal. Aval b'zman hazeh yochel litol ad sheyelei keren kidei sheyisparnes hu b'nebeso meharevach v'advarim shol tamheim. Today, the standards and the needs and the complexities of making a parnasa are very different than they were in time of Chazal, and therefore every person to a certain degree can be considered a poor man. People are making six-digit salaries and they're on food stamps. They have more. You have already one child and the tuition and what everything costs today. So today, obviously, this was the Shulchan Aruch wrote in the 17th, 18th century. You can imagine what would be today. To seek food for their family. They've already received enough. They've already collected. They got lucky. They collected more than what they need. So here was the shadow that was presented to the Radvaz. I went, imagine today, a collector. He goes to America to raise money. He's here to raise $10,000, right? To marry off a poor chassan kala. And he comes to America and someone arranges for him to meet with 20 people, 20 wealthy people. After already 3 people, he has tremendous success. He already filled up what he needed. He already has more money than he expected to raise. So is he mechuyev now to go home, and he's not allowed to bother the other 17 people? That was pretty much what the shaila was. I've already collected more than I expected. Now am I allowed to take more money? Am I still in the category of a tzedaka? V'heishiv, samchu lechem Allah doha dekayim lo nimeilim masayim zuz v'nosnu lo b'pamachas elef zuz noitim af hacha nami. So here's the chiddush. That the fact that you're coming to America, the fact that you're coming to collect, even though you're coming to meet with multiple people, we consider it to be all of us achas. Even though after already 3 people in our example, you've already collected more than what you need, but since coming to America is like it, I came to America, I have nothing. The entire trip is considered like the situation where if you have 199 zuz, you're allowed to receive in one shot even 1,000 zuz. If you're not going to say this, if you're going to say that in the first community they gave you what you need, because when you'll go back, you're going to discover you're going to run out of money very quickly. You're going to come back again multiple times. For basically, you're going to run out. If you're going to go and take only a small amount of money, then you're going to run out. You're going to have to come back and matrich them again and again. You go in a circle. So therefore, his story is take as much as you can get in this one shot. When it says here this rule that you're not allowed to take, it's only from the kupa shaltstaka. Therefore, he's saying that this is saying a limitation of law in the Gemara. This that it says in the Gemara that a person has 200 zuz may not take money more. That's only from a kupa shel tzedakah, where the money is limited. It's a collection fund. It's a fund, and if you're going to take the money, there's not going to be money for other aniyim. But when you're making your rounds and you're going from one house to the next, from one shul to the next, what they're giving you is not coming out of a specific fund. It's coming as a gift. So I'll give you, no, I'll give him, I won't give him. It's not a fund. When it's not a fund, this halacha in the Gemara does not apply. Even if you have more than what you need, you can still take more. This is a very, very beautiful yisod.
You don't have the mitzvah of giving tzedakah.
No, I don't think he means it like that. He means, I just think, you know, it has to be that it's tzedakah. It's just, it means it's not a fund. It's not a kupa shel tzedakah in the classical term in the Gemara. Aval tzarech lehazir eskavai hatzedakah shlo yitnu lecha mikupa shel tzedakah kevin sheyesh lam yesim b'saim zuz. That would basically mean that you do have a fund. Many shuls have funds, right? They collect kimcha de pischa, or they have various funds. So it's one thing, you want to go make your rounds, you want to go knock on doors, you want to make appointments to speak to wealthy people to collect money for a certain need. But the gabai, the one that's giving away money from the kubah shel tzedakah, the fund that the shul has to be one. This person already has more than what he needs, and you don't have to go give him, because if you're going to give him, then you're not going to be able to give other poor people that are going to, they don't have, can't make ends meet. If he doesn't have his quota, then you can give whatever you want. Okay, so this is the beautiful, so it's a very common shaila. Person comes to America, review the Yisoid. A person comes to America to collect money. He already has collected more than he ever expected. Is he still allowed to collect more money? Because the Gemara says, once you're ready, you pass your limit, then you're not allowed to receive tzedakah. The answer is basically yes. But you only can take money from people who are giving money, private people. But to take money from a fund, that indeed would be forbidden. Because by you taking money from the fund, since you have collected what you need to collect, then you're going to be taking away from other potential needy people. Period. Next example. Being good to one person at the expense of being of helping yourself. Kosav harama beperusha leovos harei have zon of la royos, be a tail to a lion. Better be part of a bigger, of something more powerful. Yoima sheheyos haadam talmid lefi talmid lemi sheyoser chacham imenu, better. The person should be a student from a person who's a greater chacham. Yosef roi v'toyv lo mimashi yarav l'mish shalamata mimenu l'fisha b'matzav harishon Yosef b'matzav hasheni yechaser. Better be a student by a rebbe from whom you have to learn from than be a teacher to people from whom you're not going to gain from. Okay, so therefore a person should humble himself to be a student by someone who he will learn from. Hinei, Amr Chazal. What? So you have to make the proper balance. Most of the time, just the opposite. Most of the time, that being a Rebbe is much greater. You'll gain a lot more from the students than from being a student by a very big Rosh Hashiva. What, you're going to go to a Hashiva where you can hear a Shir Kloli from a Hashiva? What are you going to gain from hearing a Shir Kloli from a big Rosh Hashiva? Even though what he's going to hear is going to be amazing. Being a Rebbe and teaching Gemara, Rashi, to Talmidim, more often than not, is a much greater fulfilling experience, a meaningful experience. It means exactly what he says, but he means over here, in a situation where you're really not gaining, even though you're going to get the kavod and the honor of being the leader, you're going to have your name on the stationery. What?
But the Talmidim may be gaining.
Well, the Talmidim, that you have to have a balance. If you need it, if it's a necessity, there's no one that's able to do what you're doing, then you're right. But even you have a situation where you're going to get...
If the Talmidim are gaining, then...
The Rebbe is gaining. Okay, so you're saying it's not really no gain. Every time you're teaching, you're always gaining more. Okay, but generally, there is such a concept that a person should better be a student, he's a zonof to a lion, if he's gaining, than be the head of, what does it say, a fox? To be the head of another creature. Let's see. Yeah. Now, v'inei ha-mechazal, im-arav, doymel ha-malach Hashem tzvokos, toz tari yivakshu mefiu. V'im-lav, al tivakshu. If the Rebbe is a malach, then you should be a student. U'bir ha-panam yofis. Shemalach hu b'v'chinas oymeit. What is a malach? A malach is an oymeit. Avol odam yochel lahalos, m'badreg l'badreg l'gavoy yoyser. But a person has the ability to move, to mobility. V'ohiru lanu chazal, she'ein lil moy tora rak me'rav, she'ein ay mabit al hatz l'chosay, ho'atzmiyut. Ella mabed rak al to elas ha talmidim. This is a very fascinating thing. The Rebbe has to be a malach. What does it mean to this very beautiful idea? What does it mean a malach? The malach does not move. Human beings move. V'nasati l'cha mahalchem b'ena oimdim o'ela. The Rebbe has to be a malach. The Rebbe has to be in it to give. If the Rebbe is only in it in the business, in order that the Rebbe should move, the Rebbe has ulterior motives, that he should move up, that's not called a malach. The Rebbe has to be devoted to the Talmidim. Af shezeh, But if the Rebbe has to be a lamabit rak al toelas al tamidim af shazem moynoy mil alas b'madrega yosei gedolos v'zeh sh'amru im harav kemalach shemaskim lios b'bechinas malach shugu b'bechinas oimed me'rav kezeh tevakesh Torah mipith. So he's saying here a very beautiful idea that if the Rebbe gives himself over to the Talmidim and he's not looking to take advantage to use this as a means to become greater, that's the type of Rebbe you should study under. But if the Rebbe is only using the Talmidim as a means that he should grow, his primary kavanah is he should grow, he should be able to move up higher and higher. He should use this position as a springboard to get a better position, but he really does not have his heart in teaching these Talmidim, then you know you are in a lot of trouble. This is very true today. Unfortunately, there are some people in teaching, or even in Rabbanus, they're not in a lishma. They're just in it to use as a stepping stone to get to another position, a higher position. If you're not in a lishma, 100% to give over, to serve, then you're not a malach. A malach has no negias. A malach is not seeking to go higher. A malach is a complete finished product. Uval haminchas alozim b'sefer divrei Torah. Kosa b'shem malach teferes shlomo. Shehoye itzel harav hagoyin harav hakodosh mi kazmir. Face not sell lefanav basher hechelu lensoil lefanav lekabel brachosai, that people are coming the whole day for his brachos and he has no time to learn. B'dover zem b'balbaloi u'matridoi harbei mechasidusoi u'meavodosoi v'prat milimut haraso. He complained to his rebbe, I became a rav and I have no time to learn. The whole day I'm busy giving brachos, taking kvitlach. I'm busy being Isaac in Shalom Bayis. Most Rabbanim don't, it's true today, most Rabbanim don't have time to learn today. All the popular Rabbanim are busy the whole day, counseling Shalom Bayis, counseling children at risk, involved in all of these things that you wouldn't even imagine, can't even imagine. And don't have time for personal growth. And therefore, this person, he wanted to quit. Don't you know the Gemara? What is an example of a chassid shaita? For example, a woman is drowning in the river. It's not the right thing for me to look at her and save her. So he's saying, that's what you are. You're a chassid shaita. People are coming to you, they're drowning in their tsaros. And you have the talent, the ability to give them comfort, to help them, to pull them up. I don't want, because it takes away time from my Seder Halimudim. So that's exactly what you are. V'chi gamata tirtze liyos kezech halila ki haloi im yovo elecha lidresh eloikim ulai tuchala hatzil nefoshas Yisrael at Sascha. If they come to you, people come to Sika HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you possibly have the ability to save them through your counseling. Oy bitzfilo secha, through your davening. Beruch liyos, begash miyos, v'loy tuchal lahalasam, you cannot hide yourself. So he says, an amazing that every Rav is in this category of the Nisayon of a Chassid Shaita. Every single Rav would prefer to spend his time in intellectual pursuits, or his pet projects, and he's always drawn to help other people, and that's at his expense. He's always faced with the nisayon of being a chassid shaita. The beer devarv kasal vashes shebesafik sakonis nefashes kagoyin shechoyshe shema yitba benar shematzel schaveroi ein chayv latziloi. In his words, he talks about the situation of a person sakonis nefashes. How can you say that? Ubiya Shabavadi Mishu Chasid Sorch Shaye Liboy Boy Bikirboy La Hashem Yisparach La Ahavas Tayrasoy La Ahavas Yisrael Lachen Kishiroya Isha Tayvas. When he sees a woman is about to drown, Yared Miyal Hatzila the Mesiras Nefesh the Misatzel the Achshay the Chumar Shema Yikoshal Einay Chasid Karoy. If you're going to even have these thoughts that maybe I shouldn't say, but you're not a chassid, v'chein hu gam li natzos nefashos miyisrael b'matan etza v'tashia sha'al loy lehistapek v'olav lahatzilam kenal. Don't even have a slightest suffix. Don't blink. Your response has to be immediate. V'ayin sham shochetsev levar shaloy chashashu l'sakonis nefashos v'sakonis aguf b'atzolos isha hatavas benar kevon sheshemer mitzvah lo yeda davara. Don't worry about you drowning. Just jump in. From here. Okay, Yenim's Gashmi is before your Ruchnias. Okay, so that's the Yisoid. The Yisoid over here is a Rebbe, a Chassid Shaita. The Yisoid is that every single person who has an opportunity to learn more. But the dilemma is, I'm going to have to give up my learning in order to save, help someone else. This is, in essence, the dilemma of the Chassid Shaita. It's not something only seeing a woman on the street. A woman on the street is, it's going to fall down. You don't want to be maharer. The same thing is true when it comes to your personal growth versus someone else's gain. Rav Moshe always, this very famous word from Rav Moshe, that just like you have mechuyev to give 10% of your money for its tzedakah, you are mechuyev to give 10% of your time to help other people. And people always, like in yeshiva, they would demand that the better boys would spend 10% of their time teaching the weaker boys. Not every boy is blessed with a clear mind to know, and you need a private tutoring. So private tutoring today, you know, it's a big business. Private tutoring, and people, they charge outrageous, they take advantage. Kids today who have a hard time, they charge the parents outrageous amounts of money to tutor their children for 45 minutes for an hour. The rates are astronomical. If you hear some of the quotes,
there's a program
to learn with children.
Not every day. Every 7 o'clock at night, and have Rabbeim come. I mean, they're paid not from the parents.
They're paid from the kahal, from the community. It's like when, like, Or Yitzchak in Yeshiva Or Yitzchak. That's really what it is. There, they have one on one. And they're paid, the Rei or Beim are paid a salary to a certain degree. That's really what they, they specialize in this. They did over here also. So, when I was in Chaim Berlin, they really went to the extreme. They really, to some degree, forced us to learn with Ratzad boys, Ber Hagola, Tab, like basically every yeshiva. Every yeshiva, the Russians or, you know, boys, every kid of yeshiva would bring a busload. Bus would park every one day a week, Baragola, one day Teb, one day Ratzad, and there's other yeshivas, a lot of yeshivas. And the boys would get out, they'd come to Beis Medrash, and there was a person in charge. Yeah, match up, yeah, you have to learn, you have no choice, you have to learn for free. Don't get a penny. And it was like continuous, non-stop. And that was then after I left, I found out that they get paid now. The boys, the Smedish boys, they started paying them. Not very much, of course, but, you know, every dollar makes a difference. But now I don't even see it anymore. I think
well,
a lot of the Berhagol also, they don't and these boys, they really got a lot from it. They got a lot, not just from the learning. They got a lot from the whole environment, from the whole. I remember that last thing I remember was the, I was in Torah Vadas, one of those programs. They were still going in Torah Vadas, where you had to they paid money. They paid the boys good money, but it was not just learning. You had to learn. You had also how to write a report. You had to file a report with. You have to write a report periodically, and also you had to spend with them not learning, a certain number of hours. Like you had to take them to a baseball game. Anything you want. You could take them to a baseball game. You could take them to dinner. Take them to a restaurant. You could take them with anything you want. There's learning time, and you also have to spend time with them.
Basically, mentoring.
So Rav Moshe says this is something you have to do for free. Rav Moshe holds that just like you have to give 10% of your time, your money, you have to give 10% of your time. And if you say, how could I give 10% of my time? During that time, I could steig, I could learn a whole mesechta. You're a chassid shoita. You're a chassid shoita. Every chassid. If I'm going to look at this woman, I'll come to hear her. I'm gonna. We'll be in the Eli. I think one of the gedolim. So what's the problem being mahar, watching television, going to the movies? So big deal. So you go to the movies, so you watch, so you see something, so you lighten up, you loosen up. He says, you know what the problem is? It's not the watching the few minutes. It's that when it's in the Eli, you'll start remembering. You'll see those images come before you at the Eli. You don't want those images, that episode, whatever it was, science fiction episode, and all of those gory scenes. That shouldn't be floating in your head when you're davening the Ela, or even when you're davening a regular Shemona Esrei. So it doesn't matter. Chassid Shreita, you mechuyif to save the woman, even though those hirchurim may come up at the wrong time in the wrong place. Same thing, I could steig, but you have to give up, make sacrifice for other people who are not as fortunate. Okay, we'll stop.